My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
What do you know? It's another first. We had the first day of training camp. We had the first day of pads. We had the first preseason game last night. Now we have the first time out to the stadium. And I know a lot of you are either there or on your way. Sal Capaccio made it. It's the blue and the red, the annual scrimmage and practice event out at the stadium. Sal is with me now on the West Her hotline. And Sal, if you would, set the scene.
Hi, Mike. You can obviously hear the speakers behind me. If it gets a little too loud, let me know. But hopefully we'll be here because I want to give you a good scene setter. You can hear this. Here we go. The specialists are on the field right now. They're starting to warm up a little bit. Sam Martin, Reed Ferguson, Tyler Bass, I don't see right now. I'm sure he'll be out here in a little while. We have a lot of people filtering in. The right behind the Bills bench, those sections are pretty packed. Over in the corners, not as much. You know, there's nothing really, a lot less people I thought would be out here right now. It's not a packed house by any stretch, but a nice crowd out here and a nice night. It's comfortable. Rain has stopped. It's not too hot, which is really nice, and the t-shirt toss is going on right now.
Oh, who doesn't love a t-shirt toss? Sal, how is tonight different than your typical practice at Fisher?
More access. That's the biggest thing, number one. The players will really appreciate and be a part of the crowd in a lot of different ways. They'll play to them a little bit, but you know, during practice, they're practicing. When the guys are off to the side doing their own thing, you'll see some of the guys kind of come over, interact with the fans. Especially, though, pre-practice and post-practice. Post-practice, they will stick around. They will do lots of autographs. You'll circle around the stadium. There's a lot of social media from them, pictures, things like that. So it's really the access more than anything. As far as a practice itself is concerned, it's going to be like a normal practice. That's what happens out here. You know, they're gonna run through their normal drills, their position drills, individual. They'll go do their team stuff. Now, we don't have access to, I can't tell you what today is as far as there's red zone or if there's, you know, 7-on-7, 11-on-11. Whatever it is, though, they have a plan for it today. It'll look just like that. I'm sure you're going to get some offense, defense. The other way that it's different, Mike, is players will be wearing their game uniforms. Reed Ferguson's out here right now with his all whites, white jersey, white pants. But as you see when you go to camp, it's their practice blue for the defense, their practice white for the offense. It'll be their game white and their game blue out here in red jerseys for the specialists and the quarterbacks.
Very good. Well, it's a pretty cool idea, popular event. You'll get a chance to get a taste of practice and maybe even get to interact with some of the players. Also, Sal, one thing we've talked about over the years with this is Sean McDermott and his focus on routines. So I don't know, like it's a evening, it's a 5 o'clock thing, not going to play too many games at 5 o'clock, but I wonder if you'd expect the Bills to have done certain things, you know, to sort of get into game day mode, if you will.
Absolutely they will. I would think this year, especially considering there are so many new faces on this team. When Sean McDermott took over and he was new and a lot of players were new, there was a big deal made about a lot of that, the routine, the understanding where your locker is, understanding where the media room is, understanding how to get to the field, parking, getting in here on time. Now, the team came from Fisher today. I don't exactly know how they drove themselves, had a bus. I'm sure there was a lot of different ways for a lot of different the players considering their situations. But, you know, getting in here, getting familiar with security, getting familiar with how to get to the locker room. And then I'm watching right now. Mac Hollins just came on the field. Mac Hollins has never been a Buffalo Bill here. He might have played here before. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know all of the ins and outs of where everything is. I'm sure that's the biggest thing for Sean McDermott. Get familiar with it. Because next week, when they play a preseason game here, that's when you don't want to have to deal with this stuff, because then you can just go out there and do everything you need to do. Now, you do have a preseason game next week. It's not a regular season game. So at least you have a chance for a little more ramp up for that. But you want to make sure they have that opportunity before they have an actual game situation.
The answer to this, your answer to this might be no. I'm just curious if you've noticed or if anybody's talked about if in some way practice this year or camp this year has been different than last year. I'm just thinking about Stephon Diggs, like he's not running practice at all. I think about Diggs for a night like tonight, because he would often be interacting with the fans. He, of course, is not there. Not that this would be your answer. I just wonder if there's anything you've seen this year that looks different than it used to look.
You know, Mike, first of all, I will tell you that it feels like there's just a little bit less of a crowd at Fisher. And I know that the tickets are, you know, controlled. There was a lottery this year. So I don't really know how that side played out. But it feels like there's just less of a crowd. It's still busy. It's very busy. But I don't feel like it's overwhelming, right? I wonder if that's by design. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't by design, to kind of keep the focus a little bit more on what's going on the field and, you know, not have to worry so much about things going on off of it. But even that being said, it's funny you ask this question, because earlier this week, I was on the Pat McAfee show, and Pat said, "Sal, feels like there's no drama this year at Bills camp." And I really hadn't thought of it that way yet, because drama a lot of time brings a negative connotation. It doesn't have to be negative to say drama. It could be positive drama, just having the attention. That's to me, and maybe it is negative mostly in the connotation, but to me what he meant was, and I think this is right, you just have such a less focus on a guy like Stephon Diggs, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, the guys who've been here for a long time. And, you know, now it's just about some of these names that you're learning and the football aspect of it. Who's playing where? I do feel it's different at camp, Mike. I feel it's different from that aspect, which is it's not a lot about the big personalities. It's not a lot about, you know, Josh is still there. It's more about who are these personalities. And I think that feels different to me.
Yeah, it could. It could. And, you know, with that, Sal, Allen's opportunity, if you will, to lead more, to get more of what he wants or whatever it might be, whatever form it might take on. I mean, the door is open for him, I would think, you know, in terms of what? Just sort of, I don't know, anything. Like routine all the way to play calling, you know, just a chance for him. And maybe you could speak to this maybe more specifically, to put more of his own stamp on what they do.
Yes, for sure. You know, I don't know about, like, having more control from, you know, calls that come in and things like that. Josh has always had control to be able to do what he needs to do, you know, even going back to Brian Daboll years. But I do feel like, and listen, this is something, it's funny, you guys remember the story that came out last week, The Athletic, and then Sean McDermott addressed it on our radio station about McDermott and, you know, Pegula and directives and whatever you want to call it, imploring and leadership. Okay, we all remember that. If you remember, you go back, I was telling you guys back in April how it just felt like every single message that came out of the Bills, from McDermott to Bean to Allen, was about something with his leadership was involved. There's always something about Josh's leadership and Josh being a leader and his leadership is evolving. And it just was, to me, very notable that it was always some sort of the message. And I think that's what this offseason has been a lot about, which is, hey, we got rid of a lot of these, or I should say a lot of the leaders are not on the team anymore. Some by their own choice, some by the team's choice. Mike, I don't think it's that much of a coincidence that a lot of the leaders that they've had over the last 6 years, 7 years, have left the building, and the Bills have replenished this roster with people who have to look at Josh Allen as the leader. I think that's by design.
Yeah, it makes sense, and I would assume you would say you think he'd be up to it.
I think so. I will tell you that these receivers want to perform for Josh. They know the opportunity they have to play with a elite NFL star, an elite NFL quarterback, and they are telling you all the time how much that matters to them and how much they want to perform for him. And I think that is that speaks highly of Josh, right? It's, yeah, they want to do their job, but they talk like Josh is their leader. That says a lot to me. I think Josh is up to it from a standpoint of him being a personality that they can gravitate to. I think the question is, like, when it comes time for those tough conversations, when you're on the sidelines, and we remember the Stephon Diggs, you know, what was happening in Cincinnati. When those things happen, and you could, whatever examples you want to give, if there are some, there are not any. When it comes time to those tough conversations, that's when I think that gets tested. And when you have to have that leadership to be able to say what you need to say, but still know that you're all in it for the same reasons. That's what a leader can do. And that's to me, I'm not saying Josh has never been like that. What I'm saying is, though, I think it has to come in that form where he has to make sure, and everybody has to make sure they know that he is the leader of the Buffalo Bills. He's the franchise quarterback, and, you know, they're going to look to him for that.
Sal Capaccio with me, Mike Shope. Sal is on the Wester Hotline from the stadium. The blue and the red scrimmage underway. I'm enjoying the mix in the background from Pat Benatar to bagpipes. Not a transition you often hear, but I think that can work. Well, Sal, you've been at...
We are waiting, Mike, we're waiting for Josh to come out of the locker. You will hear that when he comes out of the tunnel. I'm standing near the tunnel right now. You'll hear that. We're watching some of the offensive linemen are coming out right now. Keaton Bills just took the field.
Oh, let's go.
We got David Edwards here. Anyway, just a little injury update. I'll tell you when I see guys that are not practicing. Ty Johnson's still not practicing. He's out here in shorts and a practice T-shirt, so he's obviously not practicing tonight again.
So I guess, yeah, live updates here on... Because you wouldn't necessarily know what to expect there. Claypool. I guess the safeties who are week to week, you do know what to expect.
Yep, that's right. And we'll see if there's anybody. It could be vet rest days today, too. We'll see when guys come out here. Okay, so here comes Cole Bishop right now. He's coming out of the tunnel. He's not going to practice, obviously. He's wearing shorts and his blue number 24 practice T-shirt. And he's going to come out here now, and I want to see. It doesn't look like he has... It looks like he's walking without any sort of, you know, maybe he's got a brace or something under the shirt, but he does not have his arm wrapped up or in a sling, which is good. You know, his shoulder or anything. He could have something underneath, but he's walking out here right now.
Okay. Well, I started to say, of course, you've been to all the practices, and a lot of the fans will have not seen any of it. They're going to be there, among other guys, to see Keon Coleman wearing number 0, the Bills' first draft pick this year, of course, first pick of the second round. Talk about what you've seen from Coleman. I think there's been a lot of good, maybe some less good so far through camp, but he's certainly, you know, made marks.
I think there's been much more positive than negative from Keon Coleman, that's for sure. There has been some negative, no doubt. We talked about his drop slash fumble, whatever it was, one day. Those things are going to happen a little bit. There's been a couple times where I felt that, you know, he probably could have got a better job at the line of scrimmage to get a little separation. But, you know, those are things he's learning on the job. There's been other times he's gotten off the line just fine. He's gotten to the spot where he needs to go. So it's not going to be perfect right now, obviously. But I think it's been far more positive than negative. The biggest thing for me is kind of learning here. And this is, we talk so much about separation, Mike. Like, you coming into the league, separation. Okay, I'm just gonna put the microphone out. Here comes Josh Allen through the tunnel right now, Mitch Trubisky. I'm gonna put the microphone out so you can hear this live reaction from the crowd right now and the kids. Here we go. Josh Allen wearing a black helmet with a red standing buffalo. A black helmet with a red standing buffalo. Every year he's come out with a different helmet. That's what it is this year, Mike. Red with a black standing buffalo and a red stripe down the middle.
Sadly, as far as I know anyway, there was no ability to bet that. Or I shouldn't say sadly, because I would have had no idea what it would be. But, you know, cool. Different look.
Yeah, for sure. He's had something a little different every year. Getting back to Keon Coleman, separation, Mike. We hear a lot about separation. What does separation mean? I think that I have a bit of a renewed kind of thought on separation after watching Keon, because, no, he's not a separator. He's not a separator down the field. He's not going to run by you on a 40-yard dash. He can do that at times because he's a strider, depending on, you know, his what happens, who he's going against. Separation to me for Keon Coleman looks different. He is separating up top sometimes. He's separating as the ball is coming down and he has length. He is separating because Josh Allen could put it in a spot to allow him to separate. I have kind of a renewed perspective on what separation means at this level after watching him for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I tend to think of it as feet off the line. You know, if you're against press coverage or whatever, but you're talking about how it can have, you know, different meanings or take on different forms or shapes. How about Curtis Samuel, Sal? You know, a veteran, maybe just as consequential to the Bills' offense this year as Coleman, if not more so. What do you think of his traits? And I know one thing we've talked a lot about with him, and this, I guess, has been evident at camp, is how versatile he can be.
For sure, and we've seen that, and he's talked openly about it. They're moving him around. They're lining up in the backfield. They're lining up out wide receiver. We know that. They're experimenting. They're doing different things. And how much of an experiment really is it? Because Joe Brady knows him. Joe Brady coached him back in 2020. He even said, you guys saw how Joe used me. You could think of it that way. He's not going to give away details, but you could think about that kind of thing, what we're thinking about, being creative. And that's what we've seen so far. The guy's just a football player, Mike. That's what impresses me. I mean, you know, I like watching guys like that at training camp. I've been doing this quite a long time, where when I walk out there and I say, that dude's just a football player. You're going to put him on the field and he's going to do whatever it takes to win the game. He's going to make plays for you. That's Curtis Samuel to me. This guy makes catches that, I mean, you just don't think he's going to make until he comes down with them. He's always sticking his nose in somewhere. He can run the ball. He can be a little bit physical. He's got speed. He's got way more speed than people realize. Very elusive speed. I don't think that people understand that he can run by you with the best of them in the NFL, because that's not been his game, but he has the ability. I just really like watching him play football.
And you've seen him, you know, in the backfield some, right?
Yeah, and he said that. He said, you know, you know, we're doing a lot of things like we did in Carolina, and you can imagine that. But, yes, well, I've seen that. You know, he lines up everywhere. And it might not be just standing there. It could be jet motion and sweep motion and all that, and getting him the ball in different ways. I think the biggest thing for the Bills is they want to get him the ball in space. And if that means he has to move around and be in the backfield that way, or if that means he lines up back there, that means he's on the perimeter and they give him a little slip screen. I think they like having him get the ball in space. And then, like I said, then comes time where he's going to beat you over the top because he's done this to you and he has a lot of speed, and you got to respect what he does at the line of scrimmage.
Just a couple more for you, Sal.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let you go. I know it's loud there. Just getting a taste of it here, the scrimmage tonight. Would you expect to see any of the kickoff work?
I would expect to see some of the practice, yeah. I mean, they're going to practice kickoffs. You know, I'll be honest, Mike, it could be a punt, though, today. It'll be some sort of special teams period today. Will that be punt? Will that be kickoff? I'm not really sure. I don't know if it will play into, because we're here at an open practice in this stadium, they don't want to do that necessarily. Mm-hmm. It might just simply be because today's a day for punt and not kickoff, right? I mean, that's what practice is for, and then you go back to Sunday and they do the kickoff. But I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt seeing some sort of kickoff. It might not be like a live drill, but we'll see what happens tonight. I was just talking with special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley out here, and he asked me, what did you think? Because we've been talking about this a lot, you know,
yep.
Me and him. He said, what did you think last night? And I was honest. I said, look, I didn't really watch it. I had a baseball game to coach. And I asked him, I said, what did you think? You know, and he said, yeah, it kind of went the way he expected. You know, there was some stuff that he watched that he said, you know, one of the things he noticed was a lot of the kicks were kind of normal kicks, height coming down. Said, what's going to happen when there's more line drives? That's when you're going to have to start to figure out some things, too. He felt like last night was just a little bit more run-of-the-mill type stuff you're going to see.
Yeah, I thought one of the takeaways, I mentioned Jeremy saying this earlier, it's not, we don't really want there to be big returns all the time. You want there to be more right. of the potential for it. And even though last night did not provide that, ultimately it looked like any game where you didn't have touchbacks, which maybe it itself is an upgrade. But, you know, we don't want – it's not a disappointment to me if in the first preseason game you don't have big runbacks. I mean, really, one game at a time of year where everybody knows how raw, you know, and sloppy these games can be, let's see it develop. But, you know, it's just so different to look at, Sal. That's one thing I would say about last night. Really kind of bizarre, but we knew it was coming.
Yeah. For sure. To me, it's just more of the aesthetic view of it, right? Kind of looks weird. You're watching it. You have to kind of get used to it, what you're seeing. And, Mike, I thought it was really revealing. Clay Martin, the official who met with us, the referee, met with us a couple days ago in the media. And Clay Martin even said, like, it's new to them. Everybody's learning about this thing as it goes. Like, it's kind of weird that this right. whole league is adjusting from every single level to this.
Right, including the officials, as you're saying. And it was pointed out that the coverage team, according to Kevin Cole, was offside on every kickoff in this game.
Amazing.
Like they have to wait for the ball to be touched, and I guess he paused the screen every time, and that would be a pretty tough job for the official. All right, Sal, so last thing, just logistics for tonight. Maybe some fans are still just getting out of their cars and heading in. How long will it go, and whatever else you want to add?
Scheduled to go until 7:30 tonight. Yeah, so if you're driving around, you're coming here. I know there's a lot of traffic. It's rush hour in Western New York, and there's traffic coming into the stadium. Come on by. And by the way, check out, I keep telling people, check out the new stadium and what's going on across the street.
Right.
It's pretty remarkable. It's pretty big, and it's just going to blow you away how big it's getting right now. If you haven't seen it, make sure you do that on your way up. But, hey, come on out. It's a great time logistically. General admission here. People can kind of sit where they want. A lot of people flowing down to the lower level, obviously, and lots of kids near the tunnel. And then afterwards, generally, like, hey, if you're staying that late, you're staying that long, you're going to be here at the end, you generally get a lot of players that are going to stick around, sign some autographs, walk around, you know, say hi to people, take some pictures. That generally happens. So it's a really good night out here at the stadium. It's kind of a little breezy, cloud cover. It's a really comfortable night out here right now. And I just want to say one more thing. I just noticed this. So I'm thinking, how cool is this? Joe Andreessen, wearing number 44. Comes out of the tunnel for the first time wearing a Buffalo Bills jersey, Lancaster High School. I think that's really cool.
Great. Anything more injury-wise to update, like Claypool or anybody else that you didn't notice earlier?
No, I haven't seen anybody else out here that's kind of walking in street clothes, per se, but we'll have everything for you. I'll be monitoring everything on social media and, of course, WGR550.com, but it looks like so far, the only two guys I saw were the two guys I mentioned, Cole Bishop and Ty Johnson. I have not seen Mike Edwards out here either way, so I can't tell you about that. I'm sure that, you know, he wouldn't be practicing tonight, but I haven't seen, or Chase Claypool. Let me look and see.
14.
Chase Claypool. I do not, you know what? You know what, Mike? I don't see the wide receivers at all. Oh, there's a few of them. Khalil Shakir. I don't see Claypool out here at all right now.
All right. Thanks for the update, Sal. Enjoy the night.
Okay, you got it. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. You're placed to buy a case. What's your outlet? I like how he described the, he's right, like the stadium, the new stadium across the street. It's been, you know, for somebody that goes, a season ticket holder that doesn't drive down Abbott Road or Southwestern all the time, it's gotten so big. It's like your kids, you know. What is it? Maybe 6-7 months since the last game. Look how big the stadium has gotten. Oh, how you've grown. It's true about the kids. I think, but it's one of those where I'm not sure I could really know this. Like my daughter just went. She's actually at the stadium tonight. She just went on to a camp for like 4 days, and when I see her then after not seeing, she's 13. When I see her after not seeing her for 4 days, I feel like she's taller. My son, my daughter, maybe this is, you know, this is just kind of normal. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not true. Is she really noticeably taller after 4 days? There's that. And then there's also, like, I was with a friend last night, showed him a picture of my kids, and it's like, you know, wow, they're so big, you know, the way everybody talks. I've got another friend who has a newborn. You know, Jeremy too has a young baby, one of those young babies. And you know, it's just such a cliche how everybody says how fast it goes, but it's just so true. I mean, it's undeniable. Can't believe how close I'm getting to the kids. You know, being. Well, we'll see, but, you know, out of the house. I don't want to rush it. Just kind of an amazing thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think, but when I drive by the stadium, it's just surreal that it's there. And I'm sure a lot, it's been a month for me or so since I've seen it, and I'm sure it's a lot different even since then. 803-0550, if you want to talk about the Bills, the season, the preseason underway, the kickoff stuff from last night, here for that. Earlier today, I was talking about just sort of handling this season and not wanting to get too mired in, oh my God, what if they lose? You know, just the standard being so high for a team that will maybe have some new challenges this year. Anything, you know, along these lines will be fine for your takes. 803-0550, again, the number. Thanks for listening. Bulldog is off today. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
You know, there's always going to be an adjustment period, right? Yeah, there's always some people like the Justin Jeffersons that can go for 1,500 yards as a rookie and don't blink, or some of the quarterbacks is natural, but it's an adjustment, right? You put pads on, and then it's an adjustment of, hey, I can run routes like this, but now once I put that stuff on tape and team see, hey, this is how I'm playing it, or, you know, what's my next move? What's my toolbox look like? And so he's doing a good job of like taking the coaching, working it. He might go out to practice, and it might be a one-on-one rep, and he doesn't win, and I'm saying good job. Yeah. And it might be a one-on-one rep that he wins, and I'm saying, like, yeah, you won, but that's not what we're looking for. You had a toe tap on the sideline, those type of things.
Joe Brady, it's the time of year where he was on our morning show discussing Keon Coleman right there. It's a time of year where, if you care to, we are spending a lot of time trying to interpret quotes and comments and what are they really saying. I will tell you, for what it's worth, maybe you don't think it's worth anything. That's up to you. I have listened to a number of analysts in the fantasy space because you know I'm heavy into that. And there's kind of like a running thing going that I think is still going about how the Bills brass, when talking about Coleman, can't really give him a compliment. Like it's been, even maybe Allen is included in that. It's been more about how Hardy is working. This is really, quintessentially, it was a Bean commentary from maybe like minicamp. It might be that long ago, but I hear my guys still refer to this idea that, you know, I want to say something on the other side of this coin in a minute, that you want to hear more about what he's doing well and not so much about how hard it is to make the transition and how different the playbook is and how even when it doesn't go well, we want to see, maybe we'll say that it did. You know, all the different ways there are to put this when you might not have, you might not want to be able to say, you know, with any sort of truth to it, like, no, we're good. You know, we are good here. So that's kind of like a narrative out there about Coleman and what the Bills have or haven't said about him generally. However, I mean, I think a lot of that stuff, I don't want to make excuses or kind of just attack that point because I think it's been kind of true, but it is really just both when you have a rookie, there would be an adjustment. Like it's not wrong to say a lot of that stuff. And also, you just would kind of say it because I think what you would not want to say, what Joe Brady would not want to do is like basically call his shot on Coleman. Like we did it. How's it going, Joe, with Keon Coleman? We did it. We drafted the right guy. You know, I mean, just like with any sort of authority, because you can't do that. I'm sure there are times when team people can feel really good about how a guy looks right away. And again, like the challenge in the media, whether that's the beat reporters collecting the quotes or anybody else just listening to them, is to try to interpret, like, what are we really saying here? Some of that is, who is the person doing the talking and how do they usually sound? And with Brady, you know, this is our first camp, really, where he's getting that kind of media attention. So I remember like the first couple times hearing him thinking, you know, he's going to talk a lot and there are a lot of words here and I'm not sure what I'm really getting. I don't mean that as a criticism, because I think the most important thing these guys think of or think there is when doing these press conferences is just to not give away something they're not supposed to give away. So, you know, that's just what it is. But that's a challenge I choose to try to undertake, is like, all right, what are they really saying? And I think, you know, maybe when it's about work rate and how hard the transition is and these other kinds of things that are not, oh yeah, it's, you know, this is going to be a smash, then, you know, you might tend to wonder a little bit about what's happening. Probably best to not try to dive into those waters, because it's just a lot of guesswork. 803-0550 to call in. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. Sal is out at the scrimmage, and we'll have any updates here that need to be shared. I mean, it's a practice, and Sal, I'm sure, will be tweeting about all kinds of different things over the course of the evening. There are updates on injuries. Sal gave a couple, but it looks like no Claypool as well, and a couple of offensive linemen, Lael Collins being one, it looks like are sitting out tonight. So, again, stay with Sal into the evening for any kind of details that come out there. Man, Claypool, so this is three. He had some sort of a nick one of the first couple of days. Came back from that, now has a toe injury. This is, I think, his third straight miss. The odds get long. He has always been, I've enjoyed, you know, thinking about him, and we've talked about him a lot, thinking that there might be a real opportunity for him because of the talent that he has and because of the Bills' needs at the position. So they were willing to bring him in. But, man, like, you know, if you're missing camp and other guys, maybe this Shavers is one that are making a mark, it can get tough for him early. And so, I don't know. It makes me wonder what kind of, not this, I don't really mean this so literally, but like what kind of chance he really had. Like one injury. He's always been a really interesting one to ponder, though, here this year since they signed Claypool. Like, would there be an opportunity for him? What does that entail? He's not somebody that they should need to see flash physically in these practices or even games because he's kind of already shown that in the league. It's more just kind of staying straight or just knowing assignments, things like this. So maybe if that's a lot of it, there wouldn't be so much necessarily at risk here from a few missed practices. But I don't know. I kind of feel like it's the other way because he's not a big investment. And they need the new guys working things out with Allen in this offense here in the time that they have. Not as many practices as there used to be. Not as many in pads. I know the Bills, all teams take, you know, these hours and these days very seriously. So we'll see if anything changes there with him. But it sounds like he's not practicing tonight. Nathan Peterman was released today by the Saints. Did you know he was there? I'm not sure I did. I know he's been in the league, Chicago. I probably heard that he was there, but forgot. But Nathan Peterman released by the Saints. It made me think of, and this is always one that kind of just fascinates me, how when Allen was a rookie, as you'll remember, Peterman won the job to start opening day in Baltimore that year, 2018. And it's always made me wonder just what the plan was. I mean, on the surface, take it at face value, what? They had a quarterback competition, and he had a better preseason, so he started week one. And if you want, you can say, well, that's it. And let's see what happens if he's able to play well. Maybe he's on the field a long time, you know, well into the season. Or maybe not. I wonder what the Bills thought the odds of that were. And also, and because I don't think we've ever known, what they thought the ideal timeline was for Allen, who was, of course, their big investment. No offense, I don't like how this sounds, but he was the one that mattered. So you're not expecting a playoff team that year. Your number one 2018, your number one priority is getting Josh Allen right, getting whatever it is in terms of growth and development you want from him. And everybody would have, you know, a different, but an idea of when he should go in, just in a vacuum. I want him to watch four games. I want him to watch a whole year. I want him to start week one, which the Bills did not choose, of course. Like, just what would that have been? Because unless this could be interesting in like Minnesota this year, or even New England, although I doubt it. I doubt it in Minnesota kind of also. If you have this first round pick and you just kind of set things up so that he'll go in when, what would it be? Like when we're kind of out of it? Is it really more about when we think he's ready than when we just can't have it the other way anymore? And it's just time to do it. It's time to start. I think that's kind of what usually happens is the starter gets you going into a season and then, all right, well, we're not going anywhere. Time to try the rookie. But what would that have been for Allen in 2018 if Peterman had been at all competent? It might have been, you know, half the season, as much as half the season. What could have happened? Maybe he was going to be really good. I mean, McDermott forced him in the year before. I don't know. But if that had happened, you know, you have, I guess, a good problem. But it would not have been the plan for Josh Allen to start week two. That's weird for any of these rookie quarterbacks. It might have happened with Herbert. Was that week two because of Tyrod Taylor's injury pregame for the Chargers? Just like an unusual an injury, an unusual situation, but how many of these first-round pick rookie quarterbacks would have started their first game in week two?
Herbert was his second game.
It was. It was against Kansas City, and Taylor was injured, so that's why he played, right? Because, you know, you would not pick someone, announce someone else as the starter and then bump them by the second game. But that is, you know, what happened here. So, I don't know. Peterman seems to have had a way to impress coaches and be a good enough teammate or somehow a good enough backup to have lasted this long in the league. I don't know about now, but New Orleans let him go. We'll take a break here and talk some more after this time out. 803-0550 is the number if you want to get in. Bill's practicing out at the stadium. Keep tabs on Sal's Twitter there for updates, as I'll be doing as well. I'm not out there. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Okay, looking up at the Olympics, what have we got? We got volleyball today. As Bulldog would call it, real volleyball. Volleyball he approves of. He is not here to elaborate. He is not a fan of what he calls smaller basketball, 3-on-3 basketball. So this morning I watched a couple of hours of the Olympics. I like how Barry Pachesky at Defector put it, something like, I have watched so much sports over the last 5 days, I'm starting to feel physically ill. Like, that's how I feel with the Olympics. I've just watched so many hours of it this week, you know, before coming in. 3-on-3 basketball. So Team USA, the men, were playing France. They had been winless for the tournament but won. And then I think they won again later against China. Canyon Berry. So I'm watching the 3-on-3. Guy goes to the line. Berry, underhand free throws. By the way, he made every one I saw him take. I think it was a few, at least a couple. This is Rick Barry's son. Rick Barry, the Hall of Famer. He's a lot older, this guy, so I don't know. But yeah, apparently this Canyon Berry is Rick Barry's son. Rick Barry, famous for underhand free throw shooting in his great career in the NBA. It's Bulldog would remember watching Rick Barry. I don't. So I just got to throw that shot in. He's also been in here. Rick Barry came in promoting something once. Tall. Underhand free throws. So his son does the same thing. And I like that from the 3-on-3 basketball today. They won the game at the end. I liked watching it. I'm not with Bulldog on it. I enjoyed 3-on-3 basketball. I'm having a tough time finding anything Olympics related that I have not enjoyed. I watched the equestrian a little bit today. That was good. I'm just like, please don't crash with the equestrian. I do not want to see a horse crash, really, but it was kind of cool. At Versailles, amazing places at this Olympics. Also, archery. Liked some archery. 76 yards away, I believe, is the distance. You know, the way they show it, you don't see any distance between the archer and the target. But think about that in terms of football. You're standing on the goal line with a bow and arrow, and the target is at the other team's 24. Try that. So I like that today. I don't know what's coming up. I like that the track has started. We talked earlier about the 10,000 meters, was it? So pretty good stuff. Was it 10 or 15? 10,000?
It was 10,000.
10,000 meters. That's a lot of meters. Bills receivers, they're on the practice field now. Sal's out at the stadium monitoring things, the blue and the red. In terms of fantasy, more of you are going to start drafting, unlike the sickos like myself who've been drafting the whole time. But the Bills wide receivers, we talk all the time about sort of what the pecking order might be, how to rank them. So as of just a few minutes ago, I looked it up on Underdog. Keon Coleman, wide receiver 46. Curtis Samuel, 49. Khalil Shakir, 55. Coleman gets drafted before Samuel, okay, and Shakir. I prefer Samuel to Coleman, but Coleman has that upside as a rookie. And so far, I think camp has looked pretty good on him. Sal said the same when I spoke with him earlier. So that's the order for those of you maybe getting ready to draft some fantasy teams. Mike Dempsey from Football Diehards is somebody, And I guess because it's Mike, I'll say this as a compliment, who drafts more than I do, which is a lot. And so he came on with me earlier to talk about the Jaguars, a team he covers, but also, you know, his thoughts on what the Bills may look like and a lot of other certain fantasy-related topics. I'll have that conversation for you next. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Preseason, and though so he started week one. And if you want, you can say, well, that's it. And let's see what happens. If he's able to play well, maybe he's on the field a long time, you know, well into the season, or maybe not. I wonder what the Bills thought the odds of that were. And also, and because I don't think we've ever known, what they thought the ideal timeline was for Allen, who was, of course, their big investment. No offense, I don't like how this sounds, but he was the one that mattered. So you're not expecting a playoff team that year. Your number one 2018, your number one priority is getting Josh Allen right, getting whatever it is in terms of growth and development you want from him. And everybody would have, you know, a different, but an idea of when he should go in, just in a vacuum. I want him to watch four games. I want him to watch a whole year. I want him to start week one, which the Bills did not choose, of course. Like, just what would that have been? Because unless this could be interesting in, like, Minnesota this year, or even New England, although I doubt it. I doubt it in Minnesota kind of also. If you have this first-round pick and you just kind of set things up so that he'll go in when, what would it be? Like when we're kind of out of it? Is it really more about when we think he's ready than when we just can't have it the other way anymore? And it's just time to do it. It's time to start. I think that's kind of what usually happens, is the starter gets you going into a season, and then, all right, well, we're not going anywhere. Time to try the rookie. But what would that have been for Allen in 2018 if Peterman had been at all competent? It might have been, you know, half the season, as much as half the season. Maybe, what could have happened? Maybe he was going to be really good. I mean, McDermott forced him in the year before. I don't know. But if that had happened, you know, you have, I guess, a good problem. But it would not have been the plan for Josh Allen to start week two. That's weird for any of these rookie quarterbacks. It might have happened with Herbert. Was that week two because of Tyrod Taylor's injury pregame for the Chargers? Just like an unusual situation. But how many of these first-round pick rookie quarterbacks would have started their first game in week two?
Herbert was his second game.
It was. It was against Kansas City, and Taylor was injured, so that's why he played, right? Because, you know, you would not pick someone, announce someone else as the starter and then bump them by the second game. But that is, you know, what happened here. So, I don't know. Peterman seems to have had a way to impress coaches and be a good enough teammate or somehow a good enough backup to have lasted this long in the league. I don't know about now, but New Orleans let him go. We'll take a break here and talk some more after this time out. 803-0550 is the number if you want to get in. Bill's practicing out at the stadium. Keep tabs on Sal's Twitter there for updates, as I'll be doing as well. I'm not out there. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Okay, looking up at the Olympics, what have we got? We got volleyball today. As Bulldog would call it, real volleyball. Volleyball he approves of. He is not here to elaborate. He is not a fan of what he calls smaller basketball. Three-on-three basketball. So this morning I watched a couple of hours of the Olympics. I like how Barry Pachesky at Defector put it, something like, I have watched so much sports over the last 5 days, I'm starting to feel physically ill. Like, that's how I feel with the Olympics. I've just watched so many hours of it this week, you know, before coming in. Three-on-three basketball. So Team USA, the men, were playing France. They had been winless for the tournament but won. And then I think they won again later against China. Canyon Berry. So I'm watching the three-on-three. Guy goes to the line, Barry, underhand free throws. By the way, he made every one I saw him take. I think it was a few, at least a couple. This is Rick Barry's son. Rick Barry, the Hall of Famer. He's a lot older, this guy, so I don't know. But yeah, apparently this Canyon Barry is Rick Barry's son. Rick Barry, famous for underhand free throw shooting in his great career in the NBA. Bulldog would remember watching Rick Barry. I don't. So I just got to throw that shot in. He's also been in here. Rick Barry came in promoting something once. Tall. Underhand free throws. So his son does the same thing. And I like that from the 3-on-3 basketball today. They won the game at the end. I liked watching it. I'm not with Bulldog on it. I enjoyed 3-on-3 basketball. I'm having a tough time finding anything Olympics related that I have not enjoyed. I watched the equestrian a little bit today. That was good. I'm just like, please don't crash with the equestrian. I do not want to see a horse crash, really, but it was kind of cool. At Versailles, amazing places at this Olympics. Also, archery. Liked some archery. 76 yards away, I believe, is the distance. You know, the way they show it, you don't see any distance between the archer and the target. But think about that in terms of football. You're standing on the goal line with a bow and arrow, and the target is at the other team's 24. Try that. So I like that today. I don't know what's coming up. I like that the track has started. We talked earlier about the 10,000 meters, was it? So pretty good stuff. Was it 10 or 15? 10,000?
It was 10,000.
10,000 meters. That's a lot of meters. Bills receivers, they're on the practice field now. Sal's out at the stadium monitoring things, the blue and the red. In terms of fantasy, more of you are going to start drafting, unlike the sickos like myself who've been drafting the whole time. But the Bills wide receivers, we talk all the time about sort of what the pecking order might be, how to rank them. So as of just a few minutes ago, I looked it up on Underdog. Keon Coleman, wide receiver 46. Curtis Samuel, 49. Khalil Shakir, 55. Coleman gets drafted before Samuel, okay, and Shakir. I prefer Samuel to Coleman, but Coleman has that upside as a rookie. And so far, I think camp has looked pretty good on him. Sal said the same when I spoke with him earlier. So that's the order for those of you maybe getting ready to draft some fantasy teams. Mike Dempsey from Football Diehards is somebody, and I guess because it's Mike, I'll say this as a compliment, who drafts more than I do, which is a lot. And so he came on with me earlier to talk about the Jaguars team he covers, but also, you know, his thoughts on what the Bills may look like and a lot of other certain fantasy-related topics. I'll have that conversation for you next. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.